breakfast puppies?
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, Poppy. What are we drinking tonight?
Tonight we are drinking one of my favorite easy cocktails called the Cali Mocho.
One of my favorites too. What's in this cocktail?
It is a pint glass full of ice, equal parts red wine and cola.
No, we're not using the good red wine on this, are we?
I mean, no. You can, but that is not the historical purpose of the Cali Mocho. We'll probably get more into that later if you want me, unless you want me to give you the rundown right now.
This is kind of a weird episode. So I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and actually officially lead us in. Hi, everybody. I'm Nathaniel, aka NPC, and you are listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bar. Sitting to my left, as usual,
just Jacob. And to my left,
Poppy Beaujolais.
And Xander Gerrymander, once again, is not with us today. He is sick, and we decided that we would take the opportunity to fill this time and do a post-convention wrap-up slash bonus weird episode following our experiences at WagonCon. But in true Bikers, Dice, and Bars fashion, we are leading in with a special drink, and that drink is the Cali Mocho.
Yes, it is.
Now, Poppy, how did we find out about this beverage? There's a story.
There is a story here. We were, how far back do I want to go? Okay. So we were big fans of the TV show Leverage, okay, which was filmed here in Portland, Oregon a number of years ago. On this show called Leverage, there is a character named Elliot, and that is played by the very talented and very handsome Christian Kane. And we found out through probably my obsession with Christian Kane, because he's so handsome.
He's a good looking man,
and he's so talented.
We're trying to invite him to our wedding.
Yeah, no, cat's out of the bag. NPC and I are getting married.
Sorry.
What? You're getting married?
Personal here.
We got personal there for a second. We can cut that in post. No, that's fine. That's fine. So through my sort of Leverage-infused Christian Kane obsession, I came to find out that he was making a cooking show and called Kane's Kitchen, and it was released online. I think, first it was only available on iTunes, and now it's available on multiple different platforms.
I thought we had it on Amazon.
We got Amazon, or yeah. I can't remember exactly. Anyway, yeah. And so he just makes this just very charming cooking show. And the whole point of the show is that he's going to teach you how to make a meal and a cocktail to impress your partner on date night.
Yeah, it's always meals and drinks for two.
Yeah, meals and drinks for two, except for the game day episodes are kind of more like party food, but I think it's still more of like, hey guys, invite your lady over to watch the big game, wink wink, you know.
Yeah.
And on one of the episodes they make this cocktail, the Cali Mocho, and that's how we found out about it. And we were very perplexed.
Well, I know, right? Coke
and
wine?
Red wine. Yeah, and I think I think they even added lemon juice to it, which we've never done because that is too much.
That's just too fancy.
That is just too fancy. That was too fancy. So we found out about this via Kane's Kitchen. Christian Kane or his manager, if you are listening, come hang out with us. Come be on an episode of our podcast.
We'd love to get you on.
Come to our wedding.
Yeah.
Hang out, have some beers. You know, my family's all a bunch of Midwesterners, so you'll get along with us just fine.
What do you think so far, Jacob?
I enjoy the Cali Mocho. I find myself wondering if an Argentinian Tempranillo and vanilla Coke would be better.
Oh, interesting. I don't know.
What I understand, at least the way I learned it, is that the crappier and sweeter the wine, apparently the better it works.
That would be why I went with Argentinian Tempranillo.
But I have experimented at parties with fancier, more flavorful wines, mixing with also fancier, more flavorful artisanal sodas. I find that sometimes it works really well. There are some combinations like Cherry Coke. Cherry Coke's good, yeah, but that's not really fancy. But when you mix it up, like the vanilla Coke, I did Dr. Pepper. It did a completely different flavor profile.
Oh, I can imagine.
I think I actually do have some vanilla Coke left over from Wagon Con upstairs.
I could see Dr. Pepper and Merlot going really well together, especially a cheap Merlot. You know, one of the ones that's a little on the hyper dry side with Dr. Pepper. I could see that working really
Vendage
well.
Or something. Mm-hmm. How this cocktail, you know, apparently I was really quickly looking up the history of this cocktail, and back in today in the Basque area of Spain, when, you know, resources were low, and, you know, good wine was hard to get a hold of. If you had cheap wine or wine that had maybe gone a little sour, you know, how do you get your drunk on, and how do you let me start this over? Cause this is terrible.
No, keep going. This is fine.
I was like 18 ums in a row.
No, you know what? Here's the deal. This is a bonus episode. We are just going to kind of play it a little free here. We're all worn out now. We got back from Wagon Con on Monday, which was, it's Thursday. So we've still been recovering. Some people had to go back to work. Others, like myself, are still on vacation. And it's been very, even relaxing at home, I'm experiencing the con drop.
Yeah.
Now, con drop, listeners, is something that
is different than ball drop.
No, this is an experience. It's this post-vacation depression kind of thing. But it's very specialized for being at a convention or maybe any other kind of vacation where you're 100% surrounded by people at all times, and then suddenly you come back to your domicile, to your regular life, and it's, whoa. It's that back. It's that the reverse of culture shock, I guess.
Just a quick check in, because Wagon Con was Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Correct.
And y'all were up there for how long?
Thursday through Monday.
Whereas I was only up there Saturday, Sunday, but I proceeded to come back and do 2 days with my lovely sweetie for celebrating our anniversary. So yeah, I got four to five days apiece. Yeah. And coming back to reality is hard.
Just constant, here's my personality. It's turned on right now. And then you get home, and I imagine that some of the people listening to this have similar non-extroverted lifestyles such as myself. And my way of describing it as my analogy is I'm taking a loan out from the future.
Right.
I have to borrow energy from future me in order for present me to be able to be that on and amped up in a convention setting.
And it was so interesting when you first explained that to me, because that is not something I can do. I can't take out a loan. I have a certain amount of energy every day. I can push it a little bit. Say like if I go back home to visit the family for Christmas, like I'm good for like 3 or 4 days. And then on that, you know, fourth or fifth day, I have to just go hide for a little while. So I can push it a little bit, but I can't quite do the same, like take a loan out. So it was really interesting at Wagon Con. Like, you know, Jacob, by the time you and Dusty showed up, I was already at a point where I was actively having to conserve energy.
Mm-hmm. And it was pretty clear.
Yeah, it was pretty clear. And Dusty and Dusty's was all fresh faced and bushy tailed and extroverted and wanting to chat it up with us because I hadn't seen him in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And he just like kept wanting to talk. And I was like, oh, I'm so tired.
Like, buddy, we're not trying to avoid you. We are just dead.
I really want to chat with you. I have to conserve my energy for tonight because, oh my God.
Hey, folks out there, just to point it out, Dusty and Matthew
from Have Movies Will Game,
from the podcast Have Movies Will Game. Hey, check out our special episode with the crossover between Have Movies Will Game and Bikers Dice and Bars. Dusty spent the extended weekend surfing from hangover to hangover. All the time getting more sleep than I think anybody else.
No, not Dusty. Matthew.
No, right? Dusty.
Dusty too?
Dusty too.
I didn't even notice.
Electric Boogaloo?
Well, because the difference was is that Dusty made sure to sleep in longer than everybody else every single morning.
He did it smart. He managed his hangovers well.
Yeah.
Dusty is a smart, smart man.
Well, and he was much better at packing snacks than I was, apparently, too, because he was always just like doling out food to everybody.
Oh,
he was
you should have seen his refrigerator.
Dusty was our con mom, which was wonderful.
It was great. I loved having that crew around. I loved everything that we
did. It was great. And then we all got to be con mom for Spencer. So,
I've actually talked to Spencer since WagonCon.
Oh, good.
And we're working on, he's figuring out dates like month from now. And we'll see what can happen.
Yeah.
That's great. And Spencer, it was our special guest, who we assembled at the last freaking minute to join us on our two crossover episodes. If you haven't listened to them, you should check them out on the feed. He is from the Sunshine Mill Winery.
Correct.
Copa Divino, Quinet, and Oregon Estate?
Oregon Mountain Estate.
Oregon Mountain Estate. They are based in the Dalles, Oregon, and they great wines. If you're into wine, you should listen to those episodes. And if you're not, you should still listen to those episodes because they're awesome.
You should.
And we might be introducing him to the wonderful world of tabletop gaming. Word on that is going to be coming soon.
Hey, NPC. So I was thinking, if we do get Spencer down here, while we're taking him around, showing him the sights, Guardian Games, the Pirate Cove, some of the great restaurants around here, taking him on a wine tasting tour of Southeast Wine Collective, one of my favorite places, introducing him to Will over at Division Wines and Mom and Pop Bottle Shop, favorite place.
That's where we got the wines that we're drinking today.
We should grab the Zoom recorder and capture some beautiful audio of Spencer learning about Portland.
I think that's a fantastic idea. In fact, one of the ideas that Xander and I, when we were putting this whole thing together, had kicked around was the idea of going out on site at various drinking establishments, bars, wineries, dives, distilleries, and just recording our experience there, doing tours, doing interviews. I'd love to. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. He was so excited about the possibility of actually getting to play some tabletop RPGs and actually getting to do some nerd shit. It was really pretty great.
Yeah.
We somehow just like the universe provided, the stars aligned, and like the perfect person for our podcast was
and
like
this young man fell into our hands.
And this young man fell into our lap.
Thanks again, Spencer, for joining us, and we hope to be interfacing with you a lot more in the future. WagonCon, we keep mentioning it, and we haven't really much talked about our thoughts on the whole thing. Now, you know, if you listen to me talk on the previous episode, and if you listen to our crossover episodes, you probably know that I freaking love WagonCon. But I'd like to hear from the two of you. Jacob?
I enjoyed WagonCon. I probably wouldn't go to freaking love, but I really enjoyed WagonCon. It harkens back to many of the cons I used to go to in the early days, but it occupies this weird thing because if you walked into WagonCon, it was this wonderful experience. First of all, everybody there was warm and welcoming, and I don't mean the staff. I mean literally the people at the table.
Everyone
was warm and welcoming. Beyond that, it was, I mean, I'm a little bit of an architecture person, and while that building is a new building by my standards, built in the early 1920s in a celebration to veterans of the World War I and then rededicated to men and women who served in all conflicts, the building is just amazing. And I spent my entire time wandering around there, geeking out on architecture and we were so lucky that
Ron
gave us a tour.
And Ron was awesome.
Ron is the man.
Ron. Yes. Ron and I had several lengthy conversations. I got to see the ballroom upstairs, which, oh my God, I want to find an event just to be able to put it there. I mean,
last year when they had the Double Quicks play, that's where they played.
Oh, the ballroom was gorgeous.
Yeah.
We got to see the theater, which is under restoration.
Oh my God, the theater is amazing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I took videos of our walkthrough so I could show the rest of our crew the potential for the future.
Yeah, and that it's a beautiful kind of class. I'm going to geek out theater shit here for just a second. It's a beautiful kind of classic proscenium theater, and even for its age, it has a fly system.
Yep,
it has the teeniest, tiniest little backstage you've ever seen, but oh my God, it's got a fly system, and the acoustics in there are phenomenal.
Oh yeah,
just. I mean, it's got the ramp of doom up the backside of it, but it's...
Well, that's appropriate.
Oh, well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, ADA accessible, it is not.
It is, but, no, not currently.
And even the green room, which was this beautiful elevated loft that... Nathaniel, remember when you came in on Sunday and found me lying on the couch?
Yeah.
You never asked why I was lying on the couch.
Because it was a comfortable couch?
Because I mildly concussed myself one of the crossbeams.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you also bonked your head?
Oh, yeah. Bonked my head. I spun around and took a couple quick steps towards the kitchenette and hit it so hard, I knocked myself to the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I bonked my head there, too. Yeah, the green room was weird. The low ceilings. It was wonderful. It was comfortable. It fit... Our entire crew, our entire podcast production, and a whole bunch of spectators.
It fit over 30 people at one point for Hammer Crawl.
Yep.
And these gentlemen are on the taller side. Nathan, NPC, you're like 6 foot, and Jacob, you're like...
6 foot.
You're 6 foot, yeah. So, and I'm 5'2". So I did not bonk my head. But everybody else has became the running thing of like, if you walk back towards the kitchen... Watch your head, because all those like tall teenagers, I was like, oh, God, we're going to get sued. But it was fine.
Yeah, if we do that event again with spectators, we'd want to do it in a larger space.
Yeah.
Such as that theater or the upstairs area, the ballroom. But I feel that building has a lot to offer.
Yeah.
Moving from the building back to the con itself, I mean, I took us on the tangent.
Yeah.
I loved Wagon Con. I really thank you both for introducing it to me. Yay. It was a con I did not know about before I went. It turned out that I knew two of the directors from prior activities, and we just got to hang out with people, got to meet wonderful people. The Dalles is a part of Oregon I really love. It's a very large, small town. So it feels somewhat like home to me, even though it's a little bit more tourist trappy than where I grew up.
Yeah, I feel you. I loved it there. I love that town. It's this interesting clash between, you know, old school, conservative, backstate kind of people and these new changing ideals coming from younger people that are growing up and wanting to see progressive change. It's a wonderful town. There's something to do within just about every direction, even though it's a very small strip, it just, everything just feels cozy.
Yeah, it was really great to be able to just walk basically wherever we wanted to from our hotel.
Yeah.
Several bars and restaurants and, you know, the Civic Auditorium and everything was right in walking distance.
You know, as it turns out, that coffee shop around the corner that we stopped at on Thursday before we went to the Dalles, they just recently opened up a restaurant by the same name in the Dalles, Kano's.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, that was the one that they were posting about on their Facebook group that was offering a 10% discount to people with Wagon Con badges.
Oh.
Yeah. Small world.
Fascinating.
I feel cheated.
It's a cozy little town, and there's a surprising number of modern establishments there, like River Tap and Route 30, and the Sunshine Mills. They don't feel antiquated that you might expect in an interstate town.
What was the name of that wonderful Hawaiian barbecue place we had lunch at?
Lilo's, I believe. Lilo's.
Yeah,
I was very happy with that. It was, price point was great, portions were reasonable, and more to the point, it tasted right.
It tasted good, and the staff was really nice.
Yeah. Yes.
And they had the good beer.
They had the good beer.
They did.
was it the long, not long board?
I don't remember what it was. It was amazing.
The Hanalei. It was Hanalei, that guava lager.
That was delicious.
Oh, so good.
What's the brewery on that again?
Oh, I can't remember. We'll have to look it up. Longboard.
Yep. We'll look it up later.
Ale.
But
something.
You said that you didn't love it.
I didn't love it.
Why not?
So
what would you improve going forward?
So there's a couple minor tweaks I'd make. I think that, so this is just a technical point. I found it a little loud.
I think that's probably with the acoustics of the main hall.
And that is
it was high ceiling and it was a ballroom essentially. Right. Yeah.
I mean, and admittedly, all of this goes under the heading of this is year three of a convention that is put on basically by four people and whoever they can beg, borrow, or steal to put it on. And so I am not making any hyper criticism here. That do not take it as that. I had long discussions with several of them about where they want to go in the future and what they want to do. But something like a speed pipe and drape to suck up some of the sound would be good. You know, I mean, the big thing was, and I want to make a special shout out to this. What was the name of the student organization that had their game there?
Oh, I don't. Okay, I think it was Deadtrify.
Deadtrify was the game.
Yeah,
it was the walk.
They were
Wakanta School, or I'm trying to remember.
Anyways,
it was a bunch of students who made a game,
yes,
and put that game out, and they, yeah, keep going.
And part of their thing is they've made this game. They are have it professionally designed at this point, and they are moving towards actually being able to sell this retail.
Yeah.
But they took up the middle of the hallway, or sorry, main room, with a bivouac Marv style tent, a la something you'd see from a spec op group,
yeah, yeah,
doing a temporary thing in Syria. They tore that down early on the day on Sunday. The moment that thing pulled down, it got so much noisier in there because there was not even that little bit of volume.
Yeah,
suck.
It went a long way, mm-hmm, to mitigating the yeah, cross table sound in that room.
But that was the problem, because several of the games I was most interested in potentially playing were ones that I decided not to play strictly because of the environment. Horror rules games, didn't want to do that.
And that's a shame, because the people running the horror rules,
oh, yeah,
games were
Halfling.
Amazing.
Halfling is a friend of, yeah, mine, and I love it when she runs horror rules. I've managed to watch it, and I thought, oh, I finally have a chance to sit and play it, and I'm like, not going to do this.
And Sarah, who was in the first lineup for the Hammer Crawl game that we did, she runs horror rules pretty much exclusively at those cons, mm-hmm, and they are always an amazing experience.
The Wetonka Community School.
They're the ones who did Deadtrify?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Wetonka Community School, which is a student. It's limited to 55 students a year.
Mm.
Students learning focuses on hands-on project-based skills. Students will work with members of our community creating and participating in service projects, or students will learn their academic skills by helping others.
I really wish I had been able to go to a school like that when I was young.
Doesn't that sound awesome?
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
I made a point about talking to several of the youth there, and this was before they showed up for Hammer Crawl and were some of the best hammer crawlers we had.
They were, yeah, amazing.
They,
yeah,
were amazing. But several of them, without any prompting on my part, talked about how much their view on the world changed by developing a game,
hmm,
and developing that game in particular.
Mm-hmm.
At least working together on a project like that, learning aspects of project management, learning, mm-hmm, aspects of game design, learning that kind of involved mathematical balance.
Yeah.
I wish I had done that in an encouraged and sponsored environment when I was young, instead of doing it on my lunch break or when I was supposed to be doing homework, which is what I did.
And in order,
right,
and in order to do the game, they ended up talking to veterans of primarily Afghanistan, and several of them spoke without any prompting about how much they learned about what the real costs of conflict is, even inside a game. So that was an interesting thing to see a bunch of youth who are high school age bring that to the table.
It was interesting. When I interacted with them at the convention, I kept forgetting I was talking to high schoolers.
Yeah.
They just talked like adults.
Right.
You know?
It wasn't an issue of being just smart. They were mature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I had that experience with actually a lot of the kids who were at WagonCon, not just the community school students. A lot of the kids at WagonCon were, I was shocked at how well-behaved they all were. I don't know if that's, you know, it's weird to say, but they were all just hanging out, gaming. Their parents would be like, yeah, go have a good time, check in at lunchtime. And they were all amazing.
And speaking of the kids at WagonCon, I want to give a very special personal shout out to Squirrel. Squirrel.
Oh, Squirrel.
I'm so sorry that we could not get you in on the Hammer Crawl game. I know you waited patiently, and at the end, it was so tiring that we had to shut it down. I want to extend to you my hope that you show up next year and we get you on the bigger game that we have planned. We're going to put you as close to the top as we can. We're going to get you in this game. Thank you again for your patience and your enthusiasm.
Do we owe Squirrel a top of the order ticket?
We owe Squirrel something.
Yeah.
It's going to be a top of the order. Or it might be a special character. We'll see.
He told me he's going to be the first person to sign up next year when it opens. I was like, all right, man, we'll get you in there. He waited so patiently.
Yeah.
And it's somehow at 11 o'clock at night, he still had energy to spare. And all of us 30 somethings were like, we gotta go home.
You know, what's funny is when NPC finally pulled the plug on Hammer Crawl that night, I saw him look over at Squirrel and I could have sworn he was gonna go, one more round.
We gotta get Squirrel in. And he was 9 years old?
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Honestly, if they're under like 20, I have no idea. Who they are.
He was a young whippersnapper. No. But yeah, no.
All the kids were so great.
All the kids were so great. All the adults were so great. I ran into what's funny is all of the people with really big egos were people people I knew from Portland.
We came to bring it, man.
We came to bring it.
Bring it.
I wouldn't bring it back to the thing that you mentioned about the noise. Noise is an issue that I've had at pretty much every con I've ever been to.
Yeah, it's a make or break for me.
GameStorm, I think, was still to date the worst that I've had to deal with. In fact, I thought that 2017 was bad, and then 2018 happened. Oof. And they supposedly mitigated it, and it was worse. It was even worse. But WagonCon has that echoing noise. And I even had to deal with it a little bit with a good friend of mine who, well, we had the green room all weekend and a buddy of mine was running a horror game. It's like, hey, do you mind if we run up there? So, yeah, sure, whatever, going up. And I know why. Like, sometimes conventions are the best places for you to run those weird-ass one-shot games that you've been wanting to run. Oftentimes, you want to run a horror game, it's going to be a one-shot. Horror games, however, work best with a quieter environment. I think that although the bivouac or whatever it was that was set up in the middle really helped to mitigate the sound, I do have some suggestions for things that can improve it in the future. Rolling blackboards.
Yep.
Set up a couple rolling blackboards in between some of the tables. Just set them up strategically and you will isolate that noise so much better. Suddenly a table will just, it won't be a full hush, but mm-hmm. you will significantly diminish that sound.
Even speed pipe and cheap bulk Walmart plastic tablecloths do wonders.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just set up some PVC on a stand and hang some cloths from it, yeah.
I'm going to get a little nostalgic for a minute because one of the first true conventions I went to and what was I considered my home con for a number of years was back in Minnesota. It was called Con of the North. Con of the North had been at the same Red Lion Hotel for a number of years. And due to how things operated there, the con was able to buy out entire floors on several wings and then get the beds moved out.
Oh.
So the beds would be moved out, and there would be two round tables that could fit five people in each of the suites.
That's brilliant.
It was brilliant. And so that's where my idea of what gaming at a convention was set as. And I did not realize until I moved or went to my first big con, a bigger con, that it was usually much, much worse than that.
My first like convention experience was in Mobile. It's MobaCon. And it was actually pretty quiet. And then after that, it was Dragon Con. It was just noise, explosion.
Well, I think one of the main problems with the RPG rooms at GameStorm on that lower level, having it on the lower level was actually pretty nice, I thought. But there's one bathroom in that hallway.
Oh God.
And it gets rank.
And it just, quickly. You could never get in there. Yeah. And the next closest bathroom was like a mile away, you know, upstairs and around the corner and down the hall and on the other side of this huge hotel, which is very nice. Also a Red Lion. Mm-hmm. But it's always a Red Lion.
Yeah.
Thank you, Red Lion.
Thank you, Red Lion.
Friendly.
They really were very nice to us. But yeah, the one bathroom thing was just like killer.
Oh, I do want to hear about the escape room.
Oh, yeah.
So, Poppy, you played in the escape room at WagonCon.
Did. It was my first escape room that I've ever done. I only sort of vaguely knew what I was getting myself into when I signed up for it. I've seen pictures of people have done escape rooms and et cetera, and it was part of the con. It was free. I figured I'd give it a shot. And I ended up doing this escape room that they set up in the cloakroom area of Wagon Con with what I thought was going to be a bunch of people I didn't know. It turns out I knew two of them. Stacia and Curran were there. But the other people I had never met before in my life.
Oof.
And it was a lot of fun. Man, those kids are good at solving puzzles. Holy crap. Curran was just like on another little like 10-year-old, 11-year-old, tiny kid. I don't know. I can't tell how old they are. I'm sorry if I got that wrong. Just brilliant. And it was a lot of fun. There was basically the, you know, you have to shut down the nuclear reactor or else you're going to blow up Wagon Con kind of thing. And you have an hour to do all the things. And it was very much like a puzzle video game where you have to find the piece, it fits into the thing that unlocks the box, it gets the clue for the next thing, to find the key for the next thing, to form the puzzle and decipher this thing and that and whatever. And it was really cleverly done. There was this puzzle box that was just brutal to figure out how to open the damn thing.
But you did it.
We did it.
Nice.
Yes.
You even got little ribbons.
We did get little ribbons, yeah. So me and one of the other folks who was there, who I believe their name was Blue, we just like went to town on this puzzle box, and Blue is the one who finally figured it out. And then the two of us together were able to get it all, open the door, and then there was a cryptext inside of it, and I thank you very much figured out the code for the cryptext. So it was my one shining moment.
Nice.
I don't fancy myself as very good at puzzles, so I thought I was just going to suck at this whole thing, and it turned out I wasn't that bad, actually. Once I kind of got it, it was easier.
I'd like to give them a shout out as well, because they gave, so if you've been to a convention, you get a badge, and one of the things that's been popular at conventions for the last few years is ribbons. Ribbons are little stick-on things you attach to the bottom of your badge that adds like a little extra flair. And at some conventions, you can get lots of ribbons and you can stack them down. You have a ribbon trail. People love ribbons. Well, what I loved about the escape room guy is that he had ribbons for success and for failure. So if you won, you got a ribbon that said, you saved Wagon Con. And if you failed, you got a ribbon that said, you blew up Wagon Con. That's wonderful. To the point that it encourages you to fail.
Did you see that one of the GMs running Horror Rules also had ribbons?
I did see that. It was I Survived Horror Rules ribbon.
I Survived Horror Rules.
Yeah.
I Was Killed in Horror Rules, and I Went Insane in Horror Rules.
We got to do that for Hammer Crawl.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I'm thinking what you're thinking.
Taking notes.
My question is...
I think so, Brain. But where do we get rubber pants in all sizes?
Damn it, you were stepping on what I was doing.
Sorry. Yes, we gotta get ribbons for Hammer Crawl. I was killed. NPC killed me in Hammer Crawl.
Well, I survived. I died.
To be fair, as the Undertaker for this episode, yes. For this round of
for
Hammer
this episode,
Crawl,
oh shit,
yeah, for this round of Hammer Crawl, you weren't so much killed by NPC as by the evil duo of Aaron and what was.
Aaron Bowman and Sarah McNaughton.
Duchess Pity Pat.
Duchess Lydia Purry Pat.
Purry Pat.
And Archibald McDreamy the Fifth.
By the way, ladies and gents, on a related Breakfast Pubbies feed, you'll eventually be able to hear that and see photos of everyone who died and the unfortunate bastards who survived.
My hope is that I'm going to be releasing all of the convention stuff at the same time. We'll see how motivated I am to make that happen. I'm experiencing that con laziness. I literally spent the last day and a half just playing video games, telling my computer to fuck off.
Nice.
All my little notifications, cancel, don't care.
Meanwhile, I was at work slaving away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Eventually, I will have to go back to the office when my vacation ends, and I'm just not even going to know anything. I've been gone for so long. I've been gone for ages.
I have this desire to change the street numbers on his workplace and see if he tries to work at a completely different building. I don't remember being a barista, but apparently...
Is this what customer support is now? I make coffee to keep people awake, yes.
Anything else we want to talk about?
I loved the con, too.
What are your post-con thoughts, Poppy?
I don't have as much experience with gaming conventions as y'all, but I started going to GameStorm 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago with NPC, and I went to WagonCon. My first time was last year. We went to Geek Girl Con before that one time. We went to Dragonflight Con. Can't think of anything else that we've been to. Oh, PDX Age a couple of times. Yeah. So I've been to a handful of like various and sundry different sizes of conventions. So I don't have a lot to really compare it to. However, what I can tell you is that Wagon Con is rad. It's, as we've already said, everybody there is very welcoming. It's in a charming little town. The people bring really interesting games to play. It's just lovely even just being there. Like, even if you don't sign up for a game, like, you could very easily, like, just sidle up to a table and watch some people play or, you know, go find some people who are also standing around and be like, want to play a board game or something. And it feels very accessible. It doesn't feel as big and overwhelming, you know, I think, as something like GameStorm could be. I really enjoy hanging out there. And, of course, Matt and Aaron always just treat us so well.
WagonCon is, for you two, the highlight of your year, or at least for NPC.
Seems, one of them. Yeah.
One of them. What other conventions are you looking forward to this year?
That's all I got.
Yeah, I think we're done with convention season, and now we're going to go plan a wedding.
Oh, okay. Okay, then.
Yeah, nope, nothing.
You know, I used to look forward to things. I used to look forward to things.
And then he agreed to get married.
Oh, fuck you.
No, there were a number of other
We're cutting cons. That.
I used to do PAX. Mm-hmm. It's too big for me now. It's too much of a hassle. Everything about it sucks. I used to go to Dragon Con. Too big for me now. It's a hassle. Everything about it sucks. I used to look forward to, that's all I can really think about, actually. I was never a huge conventioner. I had the handful that I like really loved, and now I just don't go to those anymore because I don't love them anymore.
I loved the Stumptown Comics Fest, which does not exist anymore. It got absorbed by something else.
Rose City, I think.
Rose City, yeah. Comic-Con or something like that. I loved Stumptown, and it doesn't exist anymore, which is really sad.
I were more into comics. I'm just not. Yeah. Yeah.
You got enough hobbies. That's fine.
This is true.
Well, that's interesting. It's interesting you should say that because I'm not into comic books. And what I liked about going to the Stumptown Comics Fest was going and buying original artwork from local artists so I could go hang on my walls and have very interesting pieces of things you're not going to see everywhere.
Have you ever been to Oricon?
No.
Let me see. I believe I'm due for a plus one. This last year, I crossed the line from being someone who went to cons and helped organize cons to someone who's now a professional panelist. Apparently, I ended up this last year. I've done a bunch of different panels, and I currently have one that I can't talk details about under development for potentially an upcoming convention. But Oricon has what may be one of the best art shows with art for sale that I've seen at any convention anywhere, period.
I used to go to Dragon Con, and they had an entire hall of nothing but art for sale. So I'm a little spoiled on that.
Yes, but I also know what Dragon Con art went for, and that's potentially the difference.
Oh, wait. Kimura Con was one that I used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Teens Gone Wild.
Teens Gone Wild.
But they had a good art section there,
yeah,
too.
I never went to that one. I just met you there like for dinner one night, and I just had fun watching all the kids doing their cosplay. It was amazing.
Yeah.
No matter what convention I go to, whether it's, I mean, I used to be big in the Rocky Horror scene. I went to like 5 or 6 Rocky Horror conventions all over the country back in the day. And one of my favorite things about any convention that I go to is, quite frankly, the vendor hall.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the shopping.
I didn't say anything.
It's fine. Well, because it's a great place to just see stuff you don't necessarily see anywhere else unless you like dive deep into the internet. You see local artists, the stuff they're making that are relative to your interests, and it's a great way to support local artists and also do some Christmas shopping, quite frankly.
How deep in the internet are we talking? Are we talking dark web?
We're talking like GeoCities websites.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
Like, no, those, not even Etsy?
Those don't even exist anymore, actually.
I beg to differ.
Well, and what I mean by that is, you know, let's say I wanted to buy NPC here a birthday present or something, and NPC's got everything, and if he wants something, he just buys it, you know? But I might go to one of these conventions and be like, oh, here's this really interesting thing that I never even knew existed, and I see it, and I go, oh, that'd be a perfect gift for NPC, you know? And there's just things I wouldn't even think to Google search will be there and be, oh, that's amazing, you know?
Yeah, my sweetie's birthday present for next year was bought last year at Oricon.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, crap, convention. She listens to this. Cut that.
Con dealer rooms are actually pretty awesome. Great places to get things. I've spent way too much money at convention dealer rooms.
Same. I've gotten a little spoiled, and now I can go to a convention dealer hall and be like, ugh, it was better last year.
It's better or if you leave the credit cards at home and only bring exactly as much cash as you wish to spend. It's a little bit more manageable that way.
Yeah.
Well, any last words, folks, as we close this out?
Again, thank you, WagonCon. We had a great time. Again, it was great to see a bunch of youth doing amazing work developing their own game and bringing maturity and poise to the table. And that was probably one of the best sessions of Hammer Crawl I've ever seen.
That was the best session of Hammer Crawl I think I've ever run. And I have run some amazing convention sessions of that game.
That was a really fun game. And even though my character didn't live very long, I had a lot of fun watching other people play, supporting our DM here, wrangling people, just generally being involved in a production. And it really harkened back to those days of being in a theatrical production and the chaos of the slightly, you know, improv kind of whatever kind of stuff that can go on when you're doing a live show. Even though this wasn't live, it still had that collaborative theatrical kind of feel, which was really nice and nostalgic for me.
So I'll go ahead and close this special bonus post-con report episode out by, again, echoing Jacob and Poppy here. Thank you to the entire staff of WagonCon. Aaron, Matt, Denise, everybody else whose names I can't remember, Nathan and Zach and the rest of you, thank you so very much for having us there, for giving us the space, giving us the hospitality, and just the fucking friendship, the generosity. It warms my heart, and it makes me feel awesome. And thank you very much for letting us do that. We had a blast.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
So once again, thanks for listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. I'm NPC.
I'm Just Jacob.
And I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And unfortunately, Xander couldn't be with us, but, well, we'll hope to see him next time. And as always, please keep the rubber side down.
Shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender.
And always drink responsibly and always roll crits.
Always roll crits.
Good night, folks.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your car. The Bikes, Dice, and Bars.
Yep.